Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined as always by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself. Pete, how the devil are you doing? What's going on?
I'm good. My teeth are aching, yearning for sustenance, Chris. I've not had any breakfast because I'm finding it quite hard to eat things at the moment. And I'll tell you why. Because I overindulged in the Halloween sweets that we left out for the kids. And I was indulging in the most sour of all of the sweets, which is a Brain Blasters blueberry flavour. And I don't know what they put on them, the old sharp stuff, but it's very aggressive on the old teeth. So it's stripped all of the enamel off my teeth. And now I'm finding it very hard to eat things. And I've also got a cold and I'm dying. So, yeah, it was a real roller coaster. I said I was fine. Now my teeth are hurting and I'm dying.
So did you go out trick-or-treating, like walking around houses, or were you the house and the kids came to you?
I think a man of advancing years, heading into middle age, walking around in a Kimonito wrestling mask with a bowl of sweets. It's frowned upon at best. It is frowned upon.
Not in Essex.
Not in Essex. But you can sort of tell, I mean, to be fair, I don't know whether I had an emotional day or I was just going through some things, but the first kid who turned up at my door was this little kind of like spooky princess, and she was wearing little glasses, Chris, and I was actually crying. Aww. So yes, I think I'm going through things. I think I'm having issues, and I'm crying at the very sight of little children dressed as Halloween beasts.
How much did you spend on Halloween sweets and candy for the kids?
So Sarah, my partner, for some reason, instead of just going down the shops, going down the pound shop and buying the cheapest sweets possible, she just went on Amazon and searched for... She's quite literal, Sarah, bless her. She'll sort of go, right, we need Halloween sweets, so we're getting specific Halloween sweets to give away for Halloween. And she typed that into Amazon, and I think she dropped about 60 quid on them. I was like, what are you
60
doing?
Quid?
I know.
Bloody hell.
I know. I mean, it's our money. I don't care. But
I know where I'm going next year. Trick or treating.
Yeah, exactly. Jesus. Yeah, but there was these big... Like, some kids could not believe that we were giving away big, like, individual carton boxes of sour sweets. I mean, you know, it's their lookout, because when they get it home and eat it, their teeth will explode. But it's there's still some left. I can't face them, Chris. They're just too sour. Aww. I just cannot face them.
Give them to charity.
Yeah, I'll rock up at the Sue Ryder hospice shop and with a bag of sour sweets, just throw them at the woman. Put these on the shelf, woman.
Can you like leave them in a pot out the front of the house and be like, leftover sweets, Halloween, please take kudasai. Like, yeah, just leave them
I
there.
Mean, kudasai might be a bit of a swear, but yeah, maybe.
Kudasai.
Yeah.
Scare them. I went on. I was on Reddit today and I saw the whole Reddit feed is filled with people with their home videos, right, of like security cameras of kids coming up to the bucket of sweets in front of their house,
oh, nice.
Emptying the entire thing, one foul swoop, into the bag and fucking off with all of the sweets.
Oh, dear.
And I watched that and I thought, I hate society. Then I thought, wait a minute, I would have done the same thing as an eight-year-old.
Exactly.
And I'm pretty sure I did do that. It's, you know, every child for themselves, right?
Damn right. Shy kids getting out.
I had a Halloween party myself, the Abroad Japan Halloween party.
That looked like so much fun. I was so jealous, Chris. I'm really sorry I couldn't get out there, but I would have done if I hadn't had a holiday like 2 weeks before.
I was disappointed. I was waiting all evening. I was like, where's Pete Dawson? Is he going to pop out the cupboard? There's people dressed up like ghouls and ghosts.
Exactly. Maybe I was there and you just didn't know. That's how I got this cold. I got it from the flight.
The master of disguise. Yeah. But it went well. There was about 130 people.
Holy moly.
I dressed as the Candyman again, which involves going to the nearest 100 yen shop, buying all the sweets, and using masking tape, just sticking it to my shirt. And it went well, because at the end of the evening, right, all through the evening, people are like, can I take the sweets off now? I was like, no, fuck off. Don't touch me. And then in the last hour, I'm like, right, begin. And well, it was like 28 days later, all the zombies reaching out for me.
Feast on my bounty. It's just that it's a bit.
Yeah,
it's a bit sex club for me, Chris. It's a bit pull the sweets off me when I'm drunk enough to absolve myself of the sins. Oy, oy, oy. Disgusting. Absolutely.
It's good though.
Good.
We had Natsuki and Ryotaro go through the crowd and pick out their three favourite costumes each for their respective teams.
Okay.
And then the crowd voted by show of hands who had the best team. And I think Ryotaro won. He picked out a guy who was literally covered in bread, which is a genius costume. Nobody could see that coming. And then after Natsuki lost, he was like, he got the microphone, he went, go fuck yourself. And he got the crowd chanting, go fuck yourself. Go fuck it. It was just really surreal standing in a sea of 100 foreigners in a room.
However,
just hearing go fuck yourself.
However, you kind of like plan things with Natsuki, he'll always take it in a direction you're not expecting. I think it's fair to say.
He did. Yeah. He hijacked the entire evening. But it was a lot of fun. And I'm glad it's out the way. And it was a lot of fun. First event I think we've done in ever. So
yeah,
there's a lot riding
on it.
More
of that on the way, presumably. I mean, you know, obviously your Halloween party was incredibly successful. Horrible scenes from Itaewon in Korea, a place I've been a few times. In the Halloween sort of spirit, everyone sort of went down and so many people died in this crush. It was it would be remiss, I think, if we didn't mention the fact that the weekend for many in that part of the world has been absolutely tinged with tragedy. And hopefully authorities in Japan, Korea, places where Halloween parties are just so popular, where people just rock up and just smash in very small areas. It was a horrible, horrible weekend over in Korea. And
I saw
out to the families affected.
I think I knew someone that was in the area in Taiwan, right? And I've been there. It's a really amazing
it's
place.
Tiny,
for
that road.
So
you could see it exactly. Is, yeah. Like, it's just a road with bars. And that these things will happen, unfortunately, if it's not.
But just
controlled.
the sheer number of people, 150 that lost their lives, right? And I was watching some videos, and they're pretty graphic, unfortunately, on Twitter, of how it happened, because it's quite a hard thing to wrap your head around, right? What do you call it, like being a crush, or
it's just a massive crush, I guess.
Really imagine that.
No, and you can't see, and these aren't immobile people. These are all. You know, kids, they're all in their 20s.
Yeah, they're all very young.
Like, all very young people. It's absolutely tragic. And, I mean, we've seen stuff like that, like, you know, football stadiums around the world. Obviously, Hillsborough is a very famous one in the UK, but it's you know, I think our heart goes out to anyone affected. It was a horrible end to a joyous weekend, because people go all out for Halloween out there. I mean, I imagine wherever you guys were. Where did you actually do your party, by the way? I forgot to ask. Where was
the
it?
Party was in Roppongi, kind of the nightlife district of Tokyo. Obviously, the main place to be for Halloween in Japan is Shibuya, right? But, you know, it isn't as good as it used to be, because you can't drink and there's a lot more police. And if you see any, watch any of the videos of Halloween this year, there's just like police sort of escorting people to just go away, basically.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's lost that sort of fun party atmosphere it used to have. So I didn't go this year. I know you historically... You used to go like every year, didn't you? It was like the one thing you came to Japan for, Halloween.
Yeah, I used to go to the Tokyo Decadence Halloween party in Shinjuku. It used to be in like a big Italian restaurant.
Tokyo Decadence.
And it's just basically like older Japanese men and women just dressing like absolute filth bags. Just real. I mean, anywhere else in the world, the way that people are dressing, you would sort of say sex party. But because it's Japan, they're just having a bit of fun with a bit of S&M wear.
True. I mean, in general, though, it's so cool seeing all the costumes people wear at Halloween. It really does, you know, people really come out their shells.
What's the best one that you saw at your party or anywhere else at the weekend?
I mean, I like the bread. The guy covered in bread. You can't beat that. There was someone that came as Dr. Jelly. A girl came as Dr. Jelly, and that was really good. She had the costume and the face.
Yes, I did see that.
Painted like a moustache on and some energy jelly. And there was someone that went around with a... This is really cool. It was a face mask that had like... you could put like an image or a video on it. And they just did a Natsuki face, and it really creeped me out. It's like Natsuki face mask. Nice. That was really impressive. And of course, my costume, which should have won the best costume award, it didn't.
No,
that was a crime.
No, it shouldn't have, because it was awful. But the best one I ever saw in
Tokyo. You're not coming to my next one.
In Tokyo Halloween was it was just I think I've said it before. Three or four young lasses in wedding dresses sat on the floor disassembling and assembling revolvers. It's just an absolute what a costume! What a thing to do! I mean, they would just repeatedly. Disassemble and assemble airsoft revolvers that look like guns. They just look like normal guns. Disassembling them, putting them together again, and they just did that for hours, and it was fucking brilliant.
That's pretty cool. Somebody gifted me a 3D printed cyberpunk pistol.
It's quite impressive.
3D printed.
Lovely.
It's down here. Hang on. Gonna rummage through my bag. Here it is. You can see it here. Only you. It's 3D printing. Why don't we do it more? It's the future, but we don't do it enough.
I was 3D printer. That's really beautifully done and painted as well. I think with the...
this doesn't look 3D printed. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's just wood and I wasn't listening.
It's just wood. I mean, it doesn't look 3D. It doesn't have the usual markings of a 3D printed item. Usually they have little grooves on them, don't they? And you usually tell.
Yeah,
you're just a man looking at a gun.
Me.
I'm just a man.
Let's get on to the story
looking
of the week.
At a gun.
I don't want to be a man looking at a gun. We've got a story this week from Shelby from Norwich, the great city of Norwich. And it begins, "Hi Chris and Pete. I was on a trip to Japan pre-pandemic to visit my older sister, who lives in Iwate. Beautiful prefecture just north of Sendai. One day, we were driving in a very rural area and came across a random ramen place at the side of the road. We were both feeling very hungry, so decided to give it a try. It was my first time in Japan, and given that I'd only had ramen back in the UK, my sister picked a ramen out for me to try. When it came out, I was surprised by the sheer size of it. The ramen tasted absolutely amazing. But with thick noodles and a very salty broth, I began to get very full very quickly. Sitting with half a bowl left, I told my sister there was no way I could eat any more. But she angrily insisted I eat everything in the bowl, or I'll be insulting everyone running the place. Feeling awkward, I complied with her demands and tried to shovel down the food. With every mouthful, it became harder, and the saltiness was beginning to make me feel genuinely sick. Suddenly, out of nowhere, I burped, which turned into, oh God, ramen spurting out of my face, back into my bowl. Everyone was staring in horror, but I was so in shock, I began uncontrollably laughing. I physically couldn't stop laughing out of embarrassment that I just upped and left the restaurant to crouch behind my sister's car, waiting for her to pay and apologise so we could get the hell out of there. As if leaving some ramen would have been the worse than spewing it everywhere. Mm. It was a lesson for us both. Love the show. Shelby from Norwich, destroying ramen shops in Iwate Prefecture. And, you know, I completely get that. Ramen is incredibly filling. I once took Natsuki to my favourite ramen shop in Sakata, where he lives. And it was a very... The ramen in Sakata is known for being quite fishy, but it's by the coastline, right? And they would like to put sort of fish stock in the broth.
Right.
Which gives it a really nice sort of umami flavour. Yeah, umami. And but Natsuki doesn't really like fish that much. And he ate for about 3 mouthfuls. And then he went... and started looking like he was going to be sick. And he was like, Kimochi warui, which is, you know, literally means I feel ill in Japanese. And he's like, I go now. And he literally got up and just ran out of the ramen shop. And I was sitting there like, you bellend, Natsuki. And it was really awkward because the shop staff were like, where's he gone? Luckily, with ramen, you often pay beforehand, right?
Right,
the vending machine thing.
The little cards.
And so he'd already paid and could flee to safety, the safety of his car.
Yeah.
But I was just sitting there awkwardly finishing my bowl, gazing at Natsuki's almost full bowl of ramen. And of course, it is bad, right? To leave food in Japan, it is incredibly rude to leave like a lot of food. So yeah, don't do that. I get where Shelby's sister was coming from, although it's still best to just not be sick in a ramen shop if possible.
Yeah, don't overindulge. I think I remember sort of pressing with friends at pressing the wrong buttons. I mean, I don't know how I managed to do it, but it was gloriously done from me. I pressed the wrong buttons like several times on the ordering machine, and it just basically made the hottest ramen even hotter. And I had to leave halfway through eating that because it was just too hot. I just could not get in. I had to run to a vending machine to buy something milky, like a coffee, just to sort myself out. I was absolutely done, unfortunately.
Dear. It's a tough thing. I remember I was utterly terrified when I first moved to Japan and I got full at a meal and I left all the food.
Oh, dear.
Because you just don't want to be that foreigner who didn't show the respect or whatever.
Yeah.
But
okay.
Know your limits. Know your limits, Master Wayne.
Yeah.
But speaking of limits... What's the news story of the week, Pete? Is there a limit?
Speaking of limits, is there a limit?
That's shit segue.
There is no limit to Tokyo's recognition of same-sex partnerships in a bit. Tokyo's same-sex partnership system came into effect Tuesday, allowing sexual minority couples in the capital to be treated in the same manner as married heterosexual couples in areas such as housing, healthcare and child rearing. Same-sex marriage is prohibited nationwide, meaning... various other legal protections only afforded to heterosexual married couples remain unavailable. So, once again, two steps forward, one step back with the state prefecture versus national system. It's a step forward towards achieving equal rights for minorities in Japan. Who's this person? Fumino Sugiyama, a transgender activist and vice representative of Partnership Act for Tokyo, says, as a 41-year-old sexual minority and Tokyo resident, it's a joy to have my presence finally acknowledged practically for the first time. The new system, though not legally binding, does address many of the concerns Tokyo same-sex couples had and entitles them to different city services. But it's not going to end there. It has to go further. Tokyo is the 9th prefecture to fully implement this partnership system since the capital's Shibuya and Setagaya wards introduced their own in 2015. Over 200 municipalities currently have such a system. But it needs to go national, doesn't it? I mean, this is kind of... You can kind of... Couples with, basically how it works is couples with at least one individual who identifies as a sexual minority can now apply for their partnership to be officially recognised. Should one half of their partnership live, study or work in Tokyo or plan to move there in the next 3 months? It's all very confusing, as a lot of admin in Japan invariably is, but it sounds like it's a step in the right direction where there have been many steps not in the right direction. So under this new system, they can use public family housing services, give consent for surgery, be considered a family when applying for housing loans and insurance, and the right to make hospital visits as well. I mean, it's astonishing in 2022 that that's not in place already. But there we go. Here we are. Here we are.
That's quite the monologue.
Yeah,
super speedy. He said it all.
I've got a cold. I'm off my own Sudafed, mate.
It's great. It's great stuff, though. Honestly,
yeah.
You don't realise how difficult it is to live when you can't have the same laws and rules as a couple with regards to housing, healthcare, child rearing. You know, all of that is incredibly important. So, absolute step in the right direction. The good news is, just, you know, I think. Generally, most of the public in Japan are in favour of legalising same-sex marriage. So it's heading in the right direction. It's just more that because the country's ruled by people who are all sort of 80-year-old men, obviously they're not overly keen or they don't really understand it. But Japan is heading in the right direction generally. It's just a bit slow.
Yeah.
But very good news there. And I know we have a lot of listeners, LGBT sort of community, so I hope they find that reassuring as well, generally. Step in the right direction. We're back in just a moment, guys, with your stories, comments and questions in the fax machine.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
The
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania. Too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
And we're back with the fax machine. What have we got from our week? Rewind.
What have we got from our listeners
this week, Mr. Donaldson? Before I break,
David tape says, in reverse. David says, "Hey, strongman Chris and pretty cool Pete. David from Brisbane, Australia here. I'm planning a trip to Tokyo on Osaka in February for 2 weeks, and I'm bringing some friends along for the ride. We've discussed this, and they have been hesitant about getting naked with a bunch of other men." Whoa, steady. This one took a turn. You need to preface that, David, with a little bit of exposition. We have discussed this, and they've been hesitant about getting naked with a bunch of other men. Typical Aussie thing, I guess. And they would prefer a private experience. Now, I can't see any reference to an onsen. I cannot.
Me neither.
I'm going to read this email again. See if you can hear the word onsen or any other reason why these people will be naked. David from Brisbane, Australia here. I'm planning a trip to Tokyo and Osaka in February for 2 weeks, and I'm bringing some friends along for the ride. We've discussed this, and they have been hesitant about getting naked with a bunch of other men, and they would prefer private experience. Do you have any advice to how to convince them not to miss out on a great experience, or have any other options, as it would be sad for them to miss out? Love your work, David. David, you may not have explained that you're all going to get in a big bath. You may not have explained this as well as you did here. You may have just made it sound like a sex thing. Good God.
I just like the idea of three naked Australians just riding around on the trains, walking down the streets of Japan. I'd like to think there's an onset involved there. I don't want anyone to get deported. Nobody wants a listener of a Born Japan podcast to get deported.
Yeah.
Do you have any advice, though? Let's go on the assumption here, the wise assumption that they are, in fact, going
yes.
to an onsen or a bath somewhere. Do you know, how do you feel getting naked, Pete? Does that scare you?
I don't know. If everyone's doing it, if everyone's getting it out, I'll get it out. That's my rule for life. If everyone's doing it, I'll do it.
North England summarised nicely.
Correct.
It's true, though. Like, yeah, it's daunting. I remember the first few times I went in, like, a public bath. But then you get in the changing room before you get in, and everyone's naked and no one really cares. You might get the occasional Japanese person who's in awe of seeing a foreigner.
In awe.
Getting naked as well. In awe. The scale of things. But like, that's the only time. But honestly, while my first time doing it, like, was kind of nerve-wracking, and I did it with loads of ALTs, loads of other assistant language teachers, and we all sort of awkwardly looked at one another, wondering what was going on. After the first two times, it was fine.
Right.
So don't worry about it. You won't feel awkward when everyone else is doing it around you. So that's a good rule of thumb.
Yeah.
We've got one here, and have a good trip. And just. But don't get naked on the train.
Yeah, let's see it.
That's the red line.
Let's see it. Come on.
We got one here from Claudia, who says, "Hello, Chris and Pete and Guten Tag from Germany. My boyfriend and I have been to Tokyo a couple of times, and the one thing we haven't figured out yet is if and where there are nice or interesting places at the waterfront. Or is hanging out with the water just not a thing? Keep up the good work." And what does that mean? Liebe Gruber, Claudia. Liebe Gruber, what does that mean? Love.
Liebe Dich. What does that mean?
Love. I love you.
I think love. Love you. Love Gruus.
What's Gruus? Gruus?
Is it Gruus? Gruber? Isn't that S? Gruus? I'm terrible with German.
Possibly. I was really bad at German. I failed.
You did German and you don't know what it is. Unbelievable. I didn't even do German.
I wasn't listening for 3 years when I was learning German. I was too busy being annoying.
All right. Alsterblieft.
Waterfront. Waterfront. Yeah, I mean, Tokyo, good question though. Like, Tokyo has two good waterfront areas. Mm. Three, maybe. Number one, along the riverside, along where Tokyo's Skytree is, in Asakusa, there's a lovely area. You can walk down the river there in the shadow of Tokyo's tallest structure and have a bit of food, wander around there. Also, Odaiba, you know, the futuristic district, has the best view of Tokyo from across Tokyo Bay. Grab the monorail from Shinbashi and head on over and go over the Rainbow Crossing, Rainbow Bridge. And over there, you've got, like, the Future Museum. You've got the cool Fuji Television building. Mm. And lots of cool restaurants and arcades. It's a really great place for a day out. Love it. Always recommend it. And they've also got a Statue of Liberty for some reason that I don't quite understand. It's like a tenth to the... like, one over ten scale model of the Statue of Liberty. Mm. Gifted, I think, from the French to Tokyo. The French love... just hand out statues to the world. Don't know why. And the third place is Yokohama. Yokohama's technically not Tokyo, but it kind of is. Mm. Go to Yokohama. Go to Minato Mirai. Lots of cool things to do there. Lots of shops, amusement arcades. You've got the Chinatown. Those are the three best areas. Asakusa, Odaiba, and Yokohama. Any other recommendations, Mr. Dolson?
Yeah, I mean, I think is it Odaiba? Yeah, I've sort of done Odaiba in Tokyo, and that was, you can rent bikes. If you kind of figure out, I don't know, they're probably in a much better state than they were last time I was there, but we figured out a way of renting our bikes from the little automatic, kind of, you did call them Boris bikes in the UK, those little Santander bikes. They pootled around on the little islandy bits there. It's because they're all kind of like, they're all artificial, aren't they? They're not really, they're not natural islands. Yeah. They're just kind of like trash built up with cement. But
it's pretty insane though. The scale.
Yeah, it's amazing the size of it. So yeah, that's well worth it. I remember seeing a really weird beetle. There's a very, very strange beetle I saw. The first time I went to Japan, I went to that part of Tokyo, and I just saw this really bizarre beetle that I'd never seen before.
Of course you did.
And I've never seen it again. So there you go.
Where was it? What was it doing?
It was just hanging out. Well, it was just
chilling,
hanging out.
A beer.
And I took a picture.
Having a beer.
I'll show you a picture. I'll show you a picture one day. Oh, one day I'll show you a picture, Chris.
You do that. You okay, give me your beetle photos. Right. We've got one here from Salil. Over to you. Over to you.
All right,
beetle
okay. man. I was trying to find my beetle picture. Hi, Chris and Pete. No adjectives could do either of you justice. Greetings from Los Angeles. I'm planning a trip to Japan in February. Outside of going to Sapporo itself, are there any places in Japan you would recommend during the winter months? Brr, it's cold. Let's sit down with a hot glass of miso and have a kiss.
Sound like Alex Shapiro there. It's like Alex Shapiro, the real estate guy. He's from New York.
It's better than sounding like other Shapiros, I suppose, isn't it?
Ben Shapiro. Winter. Where to go in winter? I don't know. A hot spring resort. That's the best thing to do in winter if you're not skiing, right? Go to Kusatsu, the nice hot spring resort in the mountains of Tochigi Prefecture. Or just go and steal the entire itinerary of the video I did with Connor, where we went to find the snow monkeys and go through Niigata, get yourself some sake vending machines, go look at the snow monkeys. Pete Donaldson, meanwhile, has brought up a photo of a bright green beetle.
A nice big...
It looks like candy.
A bright green beetle just hanging out.
Like and Halloween candy.
Yeah, exactly. So there's me, I think, in Odaiba, hanging out. Just wandering around. I was so lonely. I was all by myself. And I only had like 6 days in Japan. And I managed to squeeze a lot in. Let's make that very clear.
You were alone. Who took this photo? Who took the photo of you standing
put the camera on the floor. As God intended.
Solo travel with Pete Donaldson.
Exactly.
Taking photos alone by a riverside.
Yeah.
Oh, where would you recommend for winter in Japan, though, Pete? You've been here a few times. You've done your time.
Snow Festival's back this year. If you can make it in time, I would sort of give yourself a couple of days somewhere fucking cold and then treat yourself with something a little bit warmer and just a little bit more interesting, I suppose, other than in the most frozen place possible. What's the sort of temperature looking like at the moment? Because it's starting to get chilly here. We're starting to get a lot of very, very rainy days and very, very awful weather. But it's only starting to get cold now. What's happening in Sendai, Chris?
Well, Japan's at its best this time of year because the rain just sort of stops. It's quite a dry season, right? And it's kind of warm during the day and cool at night. Honestly, this is like from early October to late November is my favourite time to be in Japan. The leaves are changing colour. Sendai, city of trees. You can walk around it. All the trees are falling down. Not literally,
the trees
are coming off.
Down. Oh, no.
Trees are falling down. I love the way Sendai is called City of Trees, and literally every city in Japan that I've been to has trees. I was in Nagoya the other day, right? The very city we have mocked and I've bullied for years on the podcast. People are like, why haven't you gone to Nagoya? They've got chicken. And I'm like, bleh. But I drove through it, and that was the downtown area was actually very nice. It looked like someone had copy and pasted Sapporo and then stuffed a load of trees everywhere. That felt like the real city of trees. That was more impressive than Sendai. Would I live there? You bet I wouldn't. But it was a lot nicer than I was expecting, actually. Nagoya. Go there. I want to see Donaldson do Nagoya on your next trip, Pete.
Nagoya. Go there. I've been Nagoya.
Donny does Nagoya.
I saw a statue of a dog and then went to a drinking establishment with a lot of South Americans.
Oh, so you have been there. You have done. Yeah. That's what you did.
I've done Nagoya. Oh. I've done Nagoya, baby.
Very good.
Woo-hoo.
Mixing with the locals.
Correct.
As per usual. Fantastic. We'll keep the stories, questions, comments coming in, guys, to abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back later in the week to do it over again. But for now, no matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great few days. We'll see you right back here to do it all over again on the Abroad in Japan podcast. Bye for now.
Ta-da.
In Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.